So we are now in the week between the eclipses. It's a chance to draw our breath. We're talking about that on this week's Mainly Moonology podcast, and we're also talking to someone who knows all about the magical subject of twin flames. So stay tuned if that sounds good.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast, which if you are watching it on YouTube, welcome. It's the first time we've done this. We thought let's put it on YouTube as well as on podcast because we know some people love a visual. I'm sure we'll get more and more gorgeous as the weeks go on, but hopefully the content is going to be great straight off the back. So what you really need to know as we move into the new week is we are now between the eclipses. We've had the new moon eclipse, which took place last week. It was a very big deal. And if your life exploded, then now you know why, because eclipses are really, really intense times. Okay, I did talk about this on last week's podcast. If you haven't had a listen, have a listen. But basically, eclipses are when the universe changes gears. Okay, so if you're not happy with the way your life is going, the eclipse brings a chance to sort of move through from one reality to another. Sometimes eclipses can be really, really difficult to handle. And that's because eclipses are really about us getting back on our right and proper path. Okay. So if you've had a rough week, if you feel like your life has been, you know, swiped sideways by craziness, you've probably been feeling the eclipse really, really strongly. Okay. But that was then, this is now. We have had the new moon eclipse. Hopefully you took a moment to make all your new moon eclipse wishes and set your intentions, okay? But now it's time to just draw your breath. And what I want to do today is really give you some information that's going to help you make the most of this week and of this sort of liminal eclipse energy between the new moon eclipse last week and the full moon eclipse, which is coming next week, which, by the way, FYI, is in the sign of Taurus. I will talk much more about this next week, but Taurus is, of course, the sign that rules cash, all right? It's associated with the planet Venus, and Venus is all about abundance, all right? So we're going to get to that next week, but just know this is a really energetically charged time. So I feel like I want to start off by talking about something that's not happening necessarily at the very start of the week, but is happening on October 22, which if I quickly check, I can tell you what day of the week that's going to be. Sorry, just I've got so many electronics on my desk now because of doing this YouTube video as well. So October 22 is going to be the Sunday, all right? So basically, we are going to feel this all the way up to Sunday. And what's happening on October 22, pretty much that's happening no matter where you are in the world. Actually, if you're in the States, you may feel it more on the Saturday, but we're all going to feel it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's actually a lovely, lovely link between Venus, the planet of abundance and love, and Jupiter, the planet of plenty, the planet of good luck, good times, happiness, all this. So having a Venus trine Jupiter in this week between the new moon eclipse and the full moon eclipse is actually brilliant. And what I would suggest is tap into it, especially on Saturday, anytime Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, doesn't matter where you are in the world, tap into it by sitting down alone or with a friend with a sheet of A4 paper and just write down, you know, I like to do a noughts and crosses grid, a very big one that takes up the whole of the page. And then put, you know, what I want for love, career, my family, travel, money, you know, communication skills, my relationship with my partner or my mother or my ex or whatever, and then maybe with my kids and, you know, what I want for home. Say you can try those as a starting point. and just set some intentions about what you love. And I know we've passed the new moon eclipse. Normally you might think, well, aren't I supposed to be doing that at the new moon? Well, yes, but if you didn't do it, now's a good time to do it. It's always a good time to do it. We're still in the what's called the waxing cycle of the moon, which is new moon to full moon, which is the best time for manifesting. And also because it's the eclipse season, really all the energy is just sort of all bets are off on the energy. So it's a really good time to get clear on what you want. Just as you're moving in, we're moving in on the Saturday, we're moving into this lovely, lovely Venus-Jupiter energy. And we also have on October the 22nd, we have Mercury making a harmonious angle, a trine to Saturn. And again, that's amazing for manifesting because actually, even though Saturn has this sort of bad reputation, people think Saturn's like, oh, it's scary Saturn. Actually, Saturn is the planet of concrete. But extrapolate that. It's what makes things concrete. It's what makes things real, okay? And it's actually hugely important in manifesting. Tapping into Saturn energy is hugely important in manifesting because manifesting is about taking things out of the airy-fairy, wafty-wafty and making them real, all right? So use this Venus-Jupiter energy followed by the Mercury-Saturn energy. It's all happening on October 22. And really start to think about what it is you want to manifest in your life. Now, all that said, I wanted to kind of have the good stuff first because there are a few challenges this week I want you to know about just before we get to the good stuff. It's actually in the first part of the week. So we're looking at sort of October 20, October 21, around about there. It's kind of hot off the heels of the new moon eclipse. We're actually going to have the sun meeting Mercury, so that's great. So just keep the channels of communication open this week, all right? That's really important. But then also know that Mercury and the sun are going to clash with Pluto on October 21, okay? So, and I'm just going to tell you when October 21 is. Sorry, it must be Saturday, mustn't it? Yeah, it's Saturday. So we're going to feel it in the lead up as well. So that is all about power struggles. It's about people's egos clashing. And it's about just doing your head in like thoughts, which are just going to drive you around the bend. So forewarned, it's forearmed. There's a reason why you're listening to this podcast so that you can start to think, okay, I don't want to go crazy, you know, under the difficult energies. I know this is a really highly important energetic portal. This time between the new moon eclipse last week and the full moon eclipse next week, and really start to try and stay on track. Now, what's it going to look like to stay on track? It's going to be things like, for one thing, huge this week, control your temper. You know, if you find yourself starting to lose your temper with someone, stop, take a breath. Another thing it's going to look like is not pushing too hard, you know, definitely not asking questions that you don't want the answer to. And, you know, if you're at loggerheads with someone, what you need to do is you need to look for the win-win outcome. Reason being, where Pluto is concerned, it's always about finding the win-win outcome. Okay, so what's good for you? What's good for me? How can we find a solution that's going to work for everyone? So if you can navigate all that and definitely like step back from any power struggles that come up this week, then after that, by Sunday, the Venus-Jupiter energy is going to be really strong. It's very abundant. It's great for making wishes, great for setting intentions. It's great for love. It's great for money. So try and tap into that. And if you are interested in love, and you're wondering where is your soulmate or what's happening with your partner or how do you win back your ex or anything like that, stay tuned because coming up now is an interview with an amazing woman called Raghada Blaney, and she is talking all about twin flames ahead of her workshop and my workshop, which we're both doing at the Mind Body Spirit Festival in Birmingham here in England, on the weekend of November 18, 19. So if you're interested in twin flames, stay tuned. Over to the interview. All right. So before anything else, I'm just going to introduce to you the wonderful Regida Blaney, who is going to be our guest on this week's show. But the energy has been quite chaotic. I've had Jonty barking. I've been getting text messages. So why don't we just start with three deep cleansing breaths, okay? So let's do, anyone who's listening, and Regida, if you want to. So in through the nose. Hold. Out through the mouth. Hold. In through the nose. Hold. Out through the mouth. Hold. In through the nose. Hold. And out through the mouth. Hold. And just breathe normally. Ah, so that's a good energetic reset for us and for anybody who's listening. So, Regida Blaney, welcome to the Mainly Immunology Podcast. Let me just read your bio to everybody so that everybody knows who you are, and then I'll explain how it is that you have come to be on the Mainly Immunology Podcast, because we've invited you, and I'll explain why. So Regida is a planetary twin flame consultant, a new earth healer, shaman, and 12D ascension activator, which sounds amazing, who's been practicing around the world for 25 years, even though she only looks about 30. She is passionate about the awakening of the individual and collective divine feminine, which I am as well. Her passion is to facilitate change and bring every soul she touches back to harmony, peace, and equilibrium within. So hopefully we can do that today for me, because you'll be touching my soul. She has undertaken tens of thousands of private sessions and workshops, and has now consolidated her knowledge in her newly released Twin Flame and Divine Feminine online masterclass, which sounds amazing. She does not teach anything she has not mastered. So that's great. So Regida, let's go through all of this step by step. But before I go into that, let me just say the reason why we invited Regida onto the show, because normally we stick to either moonology or astrology. But as some people will know, I'm going to be at the Mind Body Spirit Festival on Sunday, November the 19th in Birmingham. If you're up, if you're anywhere near Birmingham, Sunday the 19th, I'm doing a big workshop on moonology and oracle cards. And I thought it would be so nice to get to know some of the other people who are actually going to be up there as well. And Regida is actually doing three sessions, I believe. So when are your sessions, Regida, for anybody who wants to tune in?
So I'm doing a shamanic workshop on Friday. I think it's mid-morning, it's almost full house, actually. And then a planetary talk, ascension talk on Saturday, and on main stage Saturday and Sunday.
Amazing. You're going to be very busy.
Yeah.
And are you coming over from Australia purely for that?
One of, because we're also doing a workshop on the 11th of November. 11/11 this year is a very powerful portal. So we're doing one in Park Lane as well, and in Dubai. So it's Dubai, London. But yeah, mainly for Birmingham.
Amazing, 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 amazing. Right. Okay. So let's talk about what you do. Let's talk about first about being a planetary twin flame consultant. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah. So the word twin flame has been going around like a buzzword, and I'm sure you've heard it a lot, Yasmin, as well. But the true twin flames are here for the ascension of the planet. They're actually quite rare, but they're here. Purely, they started in around 2011 was the main kind of awakening. Of course, they've been here a lot longer, but the main activation for the earth to awaken, because we're all in kind of like that subconscious asleep state then. So for, since 2011 and 2012, when we spoke about the end of time, but that was actually the end of the illusionary time and the end of Pisces coming in, as you know, one cycle on into the age of Aquarius, the twin flames were awakened. They are two bodies with one soul DNA blueprint. So they basically, when they meet, they activate the gifts of one another, and of course the wound body, the pain body, but their whole role for the main mission is to anchor unconditional love on the earth, to assist the ascension of Mother Earth, and to awaken all the planet according to what their DNA light codes are carrying. Very specialized role.
Keep going. Tell us more. How do you meet your twin flame? How do you know if you've met your twin flame? What do they look like?
Yeah, fantastic question. Anyone that tells you that they'll prepare you to meet them, run the other way. You can't plan it. It's something that is orchestrated by the soul. So it's a soul awakening rather than a 3D, i.e. it's not a physical. Your soul recognizes that person through the physical body. So it's a soul ascension energy. When you meet that person, something within you is no longer the same. It's like they deconstruct, they become your mirror, your deconstruction mirror for your old worlds and your old karmic, genetic, and ancestral lineage issues that need to be healed. And they're also the mirror to bring in your divine gifts, your divine wisdom, your ascension codes, and of course, the carrying of the 144 DNA light codes for the new earth. Because the twin flames, the true ones, are all about mission, and usually mission precedes union. A lot of them come in and say, oh my God, I want to be with him or I want to be with her. But the true role of a twin flames, especially the ones that are working on the planetary level, are to anchor the earth into the rebirthing of Gaia, to activate the ascension codes on the planet so everybody begins to awaken and ascend to their higher octaves, and also to bring in the new templates of relationships and an old archetypal kind of templates of like what you're seeing now with the deconstruction of banking. With it's they're all about exposing truth, bringing the energy of truth on the planet, and reliving the times of golden Atlantis and golden Lemuria of unconditional love. That's really what we're moving into this age of light for the next 2,000 years as we're in the photon belt. So twin flames have that role, or leading part of the leadership team, as well as star seeds, as well as the Pleiades. Like there's so many rays. There's seven rays. Twin flames is one of the rays.
Right, right. So have you met your twin flame?
I actually have. That's why I probably wrote, I don't teach anything I haven't mastered, because unless you've been through the journey, it's very hard to teach something you haven't been through. When you've been through it experientially, it's different to knowing it theoretically.
Oh, am I allowed to ask who is your twin flame?
At the moment, because of the planetary work he's doing in a very sensitive part of the world, certain things have to be kept sacred, if you know what I mean.
Okay. No, you don't have to give the name, but can you sort of say, was it a friend, a partner, a teacher, a neighbor?
Yeah. So actually I've known my twin all my life. We were kind of born. We've had very parallel lives, born in the same town. We were best friends very, very young, separated for a good 15 to 17 years. Then we met, but we didn't know about twin flames then. I think we've been what we call anchor twins. So the anchor twins have been here on the planet, and you'd know other anchor twins like Yoko Ono, John Lennon. There's so many of them that are well known. These were the anchor twins. They're the old twins that were here on the planet working kind of incognito until 2011. 2011 was a very, very formative year. That's when the 1111 codes began to awaken on the earth, and that was a catapulting of recognizing who we are. So we reconnected at that time, not knowing what it was. We've known each other all our life, but in and out of each other's lives, not knowing what it was, and it got reactivated during that period of time. And since then, we've been working a lot on the light grids of the earth, so assisting specifically with ascension and anchoring earth from 3D into the 5D codes.
And is it a purely platonic thing, or is it a romantic thing, or what is it?
It can be romantic. I think when there's other circumstances in the way, sometimes you have to move that to the side. So there's two components to a twin flame. There's the light work that they do, and then there's the love that they do. And they are your, what you would call your most perfect partner in every level, on every level. But the light codes come first if that's what the earth needs, especially if they're still completing third dimensional plane connections or agreements or contracts that they still haven't completed. You've got there's almost like a two-pronged approach here. So the ascension, the mission of the planet happens first, the unification of the soul comes after that. But for other twins, they need to be in union in order to anchor. It depends on what your codes are. There's so many variations on this.
Does everyone have a twin flame?
You know what? They do. Absolutely. So when people say to me, well, how come there's only some people that do? I said, everybody does. The difference is your twin flame on the earth at this time? And if they are, you'll be reconnected with them, usually for ascension or for your own evolution, for the evolution of your one shared soul frequency. But many twins are not on the same earth. So there might be your spirit guide at this time, or they might be on the other side. So one is in one physical plane or one is another dimensional reality. If they're both here on the earth, at some point, because of your evolution, you will cross paths. It's not something you can prepare for. It's soul orchestrated. The soul brings it online.
But it's not. But it's because people tend to think it's romantic. It's always romantic. But it's obviously you're saying it's not.
No, it can be very much so. It can be, because you know why? The soul yearns to be one and feel the expression of the oneness of the soul in a physical body. So the kundalini gets activated through the sexual energy of twin flames, 100%. In most cases, if they have other, let's just say both are in marriages and neither are prepared to leave the marriage because the contract may not be over, for example, then they will have a platonic connection but do the light work. So it's a connection beyond the physical plane. This connection transcends time, space and dimension. The soul doesn't need physicality, nor does it need time, nor does it need to be in matter. It connects beyond time and space. It's a higher level connection.
And when you say, you know, these twin flames will come together and do the work together and so on, do they have to know what they're doing, or can they do it without knowing?
What fantastic question, Yasmin. So what happens is when they meet, there's like a spoke of light between them that gets activated and the codes are dormant. I know it's quite fascinating, actually. Yeah. It's more quantum physics. So they have these, like, what I want to call them, like codes, like dormant codes, like a chub code. And as soon as they meet, those chub codes get activated between them. And every twin will tell you this, they'll feel it in every spark of their body, in every chakra. And you go from the 5D to the 12D chakra system, almost instantly. You go through this process of just everything begins to get illuminated, activated, awakened, ascended. It's like you activate each other by the soul's consciousness. So yes, it is dormant until you meet. And when you meet, it gets activated and your mission comes online. You just know. It's a knowing. It's a soul knowing. It's already encoded and it gets activated upon re-meeting on the earth's dimensional plane.
And so in your case, because you knew your twin flame as a kid, when did you realize that was your twin flame?
2012. The energy surge that was coming through my body, I couldn't explain it. His voice. So twins not only activate through physicality, they can activate through voice, through sound, through frequency, because like I said to you, it's not a physical thing. It's a soul orchestrated energy that happens to you. So this energy surge moves through your body and you don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was. At that time, twin flames was more of a rarity. I was probably one of the first few that awakened on the planet, and it shocked my entire system. I didn't know how to handle it. I went through quite a massive deconstruction on a lot of levels. You know, you go through a lot of shamanic deaths, a lot, because what it does, it makes you confront the truths of your life, remove the veils, remove the masks, remove the illusion of what you've been living in order to become authentic and walk in this world as an authentic, transparent being. So you go from being a Homo sapien to Homo luminous being, like a body of light. And for many of us now who've done the work, and I feel we're all on that track now, Yasmin, many of us are actually moving into the Galacticus energy, which is our multi-dimensional cosmic being that's already being activated through the twin flame coding, the light workers, the star seeds, the Lyran, stargates, through the Pleiades. There's quite a few, the shamans, you know, even the astrologers, all of us are doing the light work to activate and ascend the earth to the new codes that we're moving into.
And so are you saying then that just by meeting your twin flame and having this light code activated by the connection, the physical connection, that kind of does what the planet needs for ascension without you having to do anything consciously?
So when you first meet them, it's unconscious. And by their sheer being, as literally as I'm telling you, the light and the love that gets poured between these two souls begins to awaken. And once we awaken, it becomes very conscious. So we've got like what I call a spoke of light. I teach this in the Divine Feminine Masterclass. There's a spoke of light, like a wheel. You know, a wheel, it's got the spokes. Yeah. Literally, and every twin who I've dealt with has shared a very similar experience with me, where what happens is spoke of light begins to turn. It's like our, it's like we've got our 10 or 12 lifetime masteries that are encoded in our DNA. When we meet them, those codes or those spokes get activated, they get turned on, literally turn on mechanism. Each spoke begins to feed into your DNA and your gifts come online. So you'll find that you're able to do things you weren't able to do before. You'll find that you'll go places and you have deja vu constantly, where you will start doing things or speaking a language you've never spoken, or do things in a different culture you've never done before, but yet you know it like it's innate. So all your innate abilities come online from past lives. And I've seen on average 10 to 12 spokes come online. So it brings on a lot of multidimensional gifts. And that's why they become incredibly gifted in what they do, because we activate the highest timeline without meaning to, just by the sheer connection, by what we call the push-pull dynamic. We go through a push-pull where there's a lot of pain when there's a push-pull that comes in that draws you back into yourself, and you start working on your inner yin-yang. You start to solidify your inner feminine and inner masculine into solidarity, into equanimity. And that's the buildup. You start working with your own inner sacred marriage. That's how the gifts come on.
And you said that with twin flames, there can also be a lot of pain.
Correct.
What's that about?
So when you first meet your masculine counterpart, and I'm not talking about masculine as a man, because sometimes the soul is androgynous. It has a yin and a yang component. Each soul is androgynous. Sometimes the feminine soul is the one that he recognizes her first. The masculine recognizes her first. He activates her usually with a code, i.e. music, his voice. He might look at her in the eye and it activates something within her soul. The feminine then gets awakened and begins to chase. In the chasing, the masculine feels an overwhelming sense of love that he's never felt before and can't hold it, and usually will very quickly retract and withdraw from the connection. With that, the feminine feels a severing in her soul that is painful beyond words. It's like a deep soul core wound that he activates within her to begin her healing. From her wounds, she moves into wisdom, but it's a process. It's a process of doing her own yin yang, working with her inner wounds, her inner lineage, her inner shamanic energy, her inner karmic, her inner genetic issues that need to be healed and fixed. The feminine goes through the healing first. It gets mirrored to the masculine in the 5D, i.e. at the level of soul, and then he begins his journey.
Of healing.
Once the journey, yes, they go through a deep healing transformation to come into the truth of who they are and to activate, because you get treated quite badly, you still learn to love them irrespective of the treatment. And you know, the best quote I can think of for this, Yasmin, it's interesting you brought this up. I remember reading by Mother Teresa. She said, you have to keep loving someone until through the pain, you keep loving them until the pain becomes love. It's that deep.
I mean, that would explain the unconditional love aspect as well, if you still love someone after you've been through all that you know, pain. And so what happens then? So she starts healing, or the feminine starts healing, the masculine starts healing, and then what? Do they come back together, or do they stay apart? Yeah. Or
usually they do, once they both can hold it. Because I tell you why, if they come back too early, and I've seen this happen, and I work a lot with twin flames on this, if they come back together too early, before it's ready, they can burn their circuits. You know why? The feminine is a magnetic force. The masculine is an electrical force. So when the electromagnetic force, if it's not in the right frequency coding, the circuits burn out and the push-pull gets even further away. So they do this dance. They come back in and test. to see where it's at, and then they withdraw. There's a dance. There's like a sacred dance that happens between them. They check in with each other. Sometimes it's not even through words. It's through telepathy, telekinesis, heart connection. It can also be through coding. Some of them will send each other messages through codes or through numbers or through symbols or through songs. They'll send a message through and they'll say, okay, they'll both get a hit, not ready. And they'll keep doing this dance until the time is right. And then just when it's correct, the soul starts to naturally move its energy in. And the only way you know you're ready is the deeper you are in your own self-love, the closer you are to connection.
Yeah, right, right. And also probably a fair bit of forgiveness in there as well.
A lot of forgiveness. That's so. Are you a twin, Yasmin? Because the questions you're asking like on point.
So I'm an ex-journalist.
Oh, wow, because you're fabulous. I'm blown away. One of the questions a lot of twins say to me is, Rigida, can you give me one trigger? Please tell me one thing to know that I'm getting close to union. And when you can hold unconditional forgiveness for them, you're very close to union, because what they put you through is absolute hell. But it's not hell because they want to be cruel. They're putting you through the cleanser and the purification of the soul in order for you to come into your highest destiny. So you become literally from carbon to diamond. You become like a diamond frequency, so transparent, so translucent. You carry the grids of love. Wherever you go, there's just a presence about you. You just bring in energy. And the heart frequency that you carry is enough to shift a whole country when you move into it. That's how powerful they are when they work as a unified force.
So it sounds extremely intense.
Yes.
You've told me you have a teenage son. Would you wish it on him to meet his twin flame?
Look, when we went through it, because there was three main waves. I was one of the first waves. The first waves had it the hardest because humanity was the most unawakened at that time. Now the new wave is what I call the third wave, is the current wave. Is this so sweet? The divine masculine is willing to work. This new generation are a lot more awakened and they're a lot more softer. You know, Yasmin, my generation, your generation, we were the ones that I would say carried the hardest codes for humanity, because the children that came through us have got the benefit of our growth, and yeah, our parents did. We were the change within the generation. We were not the next generation. The shift of evolution happened within the generation, and it's us, our codes, our age group that did it. So now, yes, I would, because they carry a lot more love. They're a lot more awake. They're a lot more compassionate. They, you know, there's a lot of things they don't accept that you and I had to go through as young children.
Yeah. So you're saying that you can't orchestrate meeting your twin flame. It's just going to happen. It's not like if you're in London, they're going to be on the tube and that's that person that made you go, oh, and then you never see again. That's not going to be your twin flame.
Look, it can be. It can be. And I have a client that actually lives in Bondi, one of my best friends. If you're Pam, if you're watching this, I love you. In London, and did meet her twin there 35 years ago. She's one of the anchor twins. But it doesn't work where you go to a course and they say, oh, come, you're going to meet you, because there's so many people out there selling things in the name of twin flame, and it's not true. It just happens to you. The soul will go through a lot of preparation prior to meeting, and when it happens, you will just know. It's undeniable. It's unquestionable. It's something that happens to you, through you, from you.
And for you. Talk to me, Rigida, about the shamanic death.
Yes.
Because I've always found that concept really fascinating, that you basically go into the abyss.
Yes.
To explain to people what it is, it seems like it's slightly tied up with this as well, that there can be a shamanic death before the, you know, the revival or whatever. So yes, Talk to us about shamanic death, because it's such a fascinating concept, especially for anyone who's been through a really rough time.
Yeah, exactly. So a shamanic death is where you are taken into the what I would call pits of despair, like the dark nights of the soul. And it's an agony in your soul, in your body, in your bone, in your tissue, in your muscle, in your sinew. That's how well I know it. The shamanic death is a pain that you go through. And really what it is, it's like a purification. It's like a burning of the old, of what no longer serves you. It's a burning of the ego. It's a deconstruction of the masculine energy and the beliefs that were instilled within us that no longer serve us. So it's basically a very painful process, like a rebirth. How I like to put it when I'm doing the sessions is it's almost like, Yasmin, literally is what it feels like. It's like you're going through a rebirth of your soul in this physical body. Rather than transitioning over to the other side, you literally go through a very painful rebirth of your soul within this physicality, within this temple that you're currently carrying. So it's deeply painful, but by God, when you get to the other side of it, you feel this sense of awakened energy within you. You feel this surge of vibrational knowing. You just like a lot of, again, but this is not the heart. It's like all of your light codes in your crown get activated. Your pineal, your pituitary, your hippocampus, your golden triangle, your halo from earlobe to earlobe, literally all pop open after you've been through the shamanic death. When you go through the shamanic death, is like a void. You're absolutely right. There's a transitional period that we call zero point. At the zero point, it's like inertia. It's like there's nothing there and you feel nothing. And for some of you, you are literally going through your ascension, but you might not feel it is. You're thinking, I want to give up. You want to transcend. You want to move on. You say, I just want to get out of here. You feel apathetic. You feel lethargic. You feel tired. You feel this sense of inertia, like nothing's happening. In that time is when the greatest is happening. It's almost like the splinter that has been put in under the soil for 3 months before the spring hits. You feel like nothing is happening, but what's actually happening is it's cracking open for the seed to come through at the right time. And when you do, it's the transformation you go through. It's like a rising of the phoenix. And you know what? It can happen over and over and over and over again, depending how strong the construct of your ego is. Once you're through it and you're more in your heart space and living from your soul consciousness, less of that begins to occur. So it's really a breaking down from the head to the heart and living from your heart and your soul consciousness.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing concept. Yeah. So tell us, are you going to be what are you teaching about at the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival?
Yeah, so when I spoke to Josh, he said, I really want to bring, I said, I've got some really great, for the new earth, I feel I have a lot of new earth codes to share of what's happening on the earth right now. So I'm going to be speaking about ascension on the new earth, 12B, how to activate your 12 chakra system. And even beyond that to the 13th, because now we're moving way more from masculine domination into the rising of the feminine and the awakening of the feminine. So we're living through our 13th frequency coding as well. So we're speaking about the DNA activations, the 12D upgrades in our body that we're going through as a humanity, moving from a carbon-based system to a crystalline-based system within our DNA. And also I'll be speaking about the new earth, the new waves of twin flames that are on the earth, because that's something I know a lot about. And I'm working with a lot of twins all over the world right now who are literally coming into union. They've done their ascension. They've done their light work. They've helped assist anchor our beautiful Mother Earth into her new frequency coding as she ascends as well. As you know, she's a sentient being. We are also rising with her. So I'm also teaching about shamanism, the rites, the initiations you can get at this time to help you prepare for what we call the time to come. It's one of the shamanic rites and it's called the Morsi Kapai. There's the last three are really powerful, the Titanchis, the Morsi Kapai, and the Kurak Akuryak. And this prepares you for the time to come, the Star Keepers. It's really fascinating because moving into multidimensional. We're no longer 3D. We're deconstructing the 3D aspect of ourselves and becoming 5 to 12D beings, multisensory.
So can I just put you on the spot, Rigida, and ask you, do you have a short-ish meditation that we could offer to our listeners who would love to hear your work, who maybe can't make it to Birmingham on the weekend of the 18th and 19th of November? Do you have one something that you could offer we could put a link to, and people could download a meditation from you to help where they release their codes or whatever?
How, would you like me to create one and send you the link? Is that how you'd like me to do it?
That would be amazing. Yes, please.
Yeah, all can right. do.
So if you're listening on the podcast, go to moonmessages.com/activate. I'll create that. You give me the actual URL and it will go to, we'll redirect there. And we'll offer that to people for people who want to opt in and download it from you. And yeah, sounds amazing. I would like to listen to this and you know, just do whatever you feel is right for the meditation, and we'll put it sure. as a download. Okay, brilliant. So don't worry about the URL. The URL is moonmessages.com/activate, but I will make that redirect to whatever URL you come up with. Because I think, having heard all this, people are going to want to experience it, and not everyone can make it to Birmingham. We've got listeners in America, we've got listeners in Australia,
sure.
as well as listeners in the UK.
Sure.
Amazing. Okay. So, Rigida, tell us also where people can find you, you know, who can't make it up to Birmingham. If you can make it up to Birmingham, see Rigida on Saturday and come see me on Sunday. What about that for a plan? yeah. So tell us where people can find you online.
Yeah. So I'm on Rigida Sharman. I'm both on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And I've also just done, I don't know if, I think my PA may have told you that I've done some masterclasses, literally an 8-course lesson, online course lessons for Twin Flames and for the Divine Feminine Rising and Awakening, how to embody the 5D Feminine on the New Earth. I've done masterclasses on my website, www.rigida.com. You're welcome to ask any questions, send it through to admin@rigida.com, or even on the DMs, the girls will help you. But I'm all over social media. So Rigida Sharman is the name, R-A-G-H.
Yeah, R-A-G-H-I-D-A.
Yeah, and Sharman.
Two last questions. One,
yeah,
you can think about this for a second, because then I'll ask you the second question. What do you wish everybody knew? Okay. And the last question, what star sign are you?
Okay. So first question is, I wish everybody knew how beautiful it is when you live in your heart, how everything you want just comes to you. You literally become the word magnetic. You don't even, it even be, moves beyond attracting. It just comes to you. If you just allow yourself to move into the heart space, wow, we literally live this. It's like 90% joy. Don't get me wrong, things still come up, but nothing bothers you. It just, we ride through it. It becomes a way to just be more free flowing, living in the heart. That would be my magic, to want to share with everyone to be in that space, because it's totally divine.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And I'm an Aquarius.
I knew it. I swear to God, on my honor, may God strike me down. I thought, she has to be an Aquarius. Interesting.
What are you, Yad?
I'm Cancerian, but I have planets in Gemini, which vibe with the Aquarian. So I have quite a few Aquarian friends. And I'm actually just going to ask one more question, because it's something that came up while I was listening. So you were talking about how when people, they go through the dark night of the soul, and then they come out the other side and they've activated their 13 chakras, or, you know, their 5D chakras and so on and so forth. And you're calling that like their personal ascension, are you?
Yes, yes. So you know what's wonderful, Yasmin, is that it doesn't need many of us to go through it. And then what happens? Because we are a symbiotic being, that as some of us go through it, it begins to assist others just by osmosis. Osmotically, right. They begin to open and ascend through your own awakening. So, yes, it's an individual awakening. Through the individual awakening, it moves into the collective consciousness. And it only takes a group of us to do it and to ascend together and to hold that collective energy and that collective thought process and allow that vibration to beam from us, they begin to get it through magnetism, because we're an electromagnetic being through our toric field from our crown all the way through to our perineum. And, you know, as you know, we've got the circuits within us on both sides, magnetic on the left, electric on the right. So, yeah, that's, we beam it out. We beam it out. Right. And that's in it. Through the individuation process, it becomes a collective process.
Beautiful. All right, Regina Blaney, thank you so very much for being here with us today. And we will meet when you're in London.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you'd like to stay updated with the moon and moonology and astrology and all the other things we cover, be sure to subscribe to the podcast via Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be notified whenever a new episode is up. Also, it would mean a lot to me and my team if you could leave us a glowing 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, please. That actually helps more people find us too, which spreads the love and surely also brings you amazing karma for taking a moment to help us out and to help other people find the podcast. Have a great week, and I hope to speak to you next week. Lots of love. Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take Moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.